last time,
which was a couple of weeks ago that I preached, I was making mention that we're going to be covering what I call great questions in the Bible. And the last time it was where David said concerning Goliath, is there not a cause? And so this week I'm going to some other great questions that are in your Bible, and we're going to look at them and cover them. If you would, turn to Mark chapter 10. Get Mark chapter 10. And when you get Mark chapter 10, hold that and go to Acts chapter 16. We're going to read Mark 10 first. Well, I tell you what, we'll read Acts 16 first, because I'm going to focus on Mark 10 in the message today. So in Acts 16, this is a case where Paul and Silas are in the Philippian jail, and about midnight they began to sing, and an earthquake is sent of the Lord, and the jail doors bust open. So anyhow, the jailer there is concerned that, you know, he about died in the earthquake, and he's worried because he knows these are men of God. So in verse 29, 16:29, then he called for a light, the jailer did, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, watch the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Great question in your Bible. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, if you turn to Mark chapter 10, and we're probably going to leave Acts 16 alone for this week, because we won't have time to get to it, and we'll go to it next week. But in Mark chapter 10, there's another account given here. Look in verse 17. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he, this is the Lord, was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, here's a question. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Good question in your Bible. What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus looking on them, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. So here are two great questions. You know, there's something that's common between those two questions over there in Mark chapter 10 and over there in Acts 16. There are two things that were common in those questions. And it was, what must I do? I do. There was something in the minds of these men that caused them to say, I do. What must I do? And so we're going to concentrate on the account there in Mark chapter 10 and how this thing unfolds. And I can guarantee you it goes a lot deeper than what you may be thinking on the surface here. In Mark chapter 10, he comes up to Jesus Christ and says, Master, what shall I do that I may have or that I may inherit eternal life? Now, we're going to touch on inherit in just a minute. Inherit, inheritance, that type thing in just a minute. But I want you to understand that this man that came up to Jesus Christ, he knew a thing or two about eternal life. Because he's asking, what must I do to have it? Well, folks, in tradition of the Jews were raised up in the knowledge of the promises of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The promises that God gave to Abraham came down to Isaac, to Jacob, who became Israel, and all the seed had the promises of God. And this man knew this. Now, there's some things about this that he knew also. He knew about the law. In Exodus chapter 20, the Lord came back to Moses and said, here it is, write it down, Moses, thou shalt not. And that's what the Lord told him. Thou shalt not do this out of the other. And he said, Master, I've observed all these things from my youth up. So he was raised up in tradition of the fathers. So this man, this rich young ruler, knew a thing or two about the traditions of Israel. Knew the traditions of the fathers. So with that said, turn to Ezekiel. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. And look in chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Now, we use the board here. Come this way, the birth of Jesus Christ. We have his death here, the burial, the resurrection. Then we have the body of Christ framed up here. Then after that is the 7 years of tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble. The Lord will return and come down to the earth, his second coming as it's known, set up a kingdom. That's what the Lord was preaching there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel of the kingdom. Gonna set up his kingdom that was promised to Israel. So the Jews traditionally have always looked forward to this kingdom, not knowing exactly when it was gonna come. Ezekiel's like 500 to 600 years prior to Jesus Christ. And so God instructs Ezekiel something that we're gonna read. And it all concerns this kingdom here. So in Ezekiel chapter 37, let's see what he says there in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So this is kind of a freaky deal here, okay? I mean, Ezekiel's kind of getting transported. I mean, it was. We read this and we don't think about it from Ezekiel's standpoint. But Ezekiel is back here, like I said, 500 to 600 years before Christ, and God, by the Spirit, is transporting him into the future. A little while there. So anyhow, verse 2, and caused me to pass by them round about. Now, it's valleys full of dry bones. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. That's the bones. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came upon them, and they lived, and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the watch, whole house of Israel. Behold, they said, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So here you have a real freaky situation here that Ezekiel's witnessing. Bunch of bones, the bones come together, they rise up, sinew and tendon and all that forms on them, then they're covered with skin, and they become the people that they were prior to their death. And this turns out to be the whole house of Israel. So that tells me something. That tells me that there were men in the Old Testament that looked forward to this kingdom, not knowing when. We had the finished book so we can see the time now. But they didn't know when this kingdom was coming. They had no idea. So they died in faith. So we're just going to let this represent their death. Old Testament, by the millions of them, they're laying down there. So Ezekiel has a prophecy about those that have died, that one day they're going to all be gathered together in the valley. They're going to come up out of the graves, bone to bone, sinew, flesh, and then breath comes into them. And what's going to happen is God's going to raise them up, have them born again from the grave, and they'll go into the kingdom as they were promised. The rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10 knew a thing or two about this. Why? He wants to inherit eternal life. Turn, you're in Ezekiel, go to chapter 36, and we'll look at the other spectrum of this thing. In chapter 36, look in verse 24. Ezekiel 36, verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. And you shall be my people, and I'll be your God. And we'll just hold up there. These are different here. In other words, Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel's prophesying of these that are dead. But in 36, he's prophesying about those that are alive. Look in verse 24 again. For I will take you from among the heathen. Well, they're alive. Well, I know then, during this tribulation over here, you're going to have those that are alive and will make it through the tribulation alive. They're going to go into the kingdom alive with their bodies, just like we have now. They're going into it, but God is going to put His Spirit in them, and they'll know the Lord at that point in time. There won't be any confusion about the Lord at that point in time. They're going to go in to the land that God had promised them for an inheritance. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Look back in Deuteronomy chapter 4. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, we're going to see the promise back here. Verse 37, Deuteronomy 4, verse 37. He says, and because he loved thy fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, and brought thee out in his sight with his mighty power out of Egypt. So that's God delivering Moses and that group out of Egypt. Now watch. Verse 38. Brought them out of Egypt to drive out nations from before thee, greater and mightier than thou art, to bring thee in, to give thee their land for an inheritance, as it is today. An inheritance. In other words, God promised Abram back here a land grant. Well, folks, there are people in that land that aren't going to allow it. So God brought them out, and they've been battling them ever since, the Jews have. And Jews have died in faith, and that's the ones Ezekiel talked about that are going to be resurrected and brought into this kingdom, which is their inheritance. It's their inheritance. In other words, it's what comes down as far as estates and possessions. This is their inheritance. Then you go into the tribulation here. There'll be Jews that will make it through the time of Jacob's trouble and will go into that kingdom. When the Lord returns, He's going to destroy their enemies, and those that are alive and survived it will go into that kingdom. Ezekiel chapter 36. Well, in Mark chapter 10, that young man that came to him knew a thing or two about all of this we're covering. He wanted to inherit eternally. He knew a thing or two about inheritance. So he wanted, what must I do? Well, you know what? To go into this kingdom during the time of Jesus Christ, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you had to sell out everything you had. Peter said, we forsook all. What shall we get? They left their jobs. They left their family. They left their houses. They left every possession they had to follow the Lord, and they walked around the cities like a bunch and like bums, having nothing. You know what they had to count on to survive? The miracles that God did through Jesus Christ. I mean, there's a reason for the multiplying of the fishes and the bread, you understand? It was to feed these people. They're starving to death. They forsook all. So this rich young ruler comes to him and said, what must I do? Well, I kept all the law. So we know he was instructed out of the Old Testament to have kept all the law, right? So he knows a thing or two about this. Well, the Lord said, if you're going to be perfect, sell that you have, come follow me, and you'll have what you're seeking. Aren't you glad that's not true for today? I mean, think about it. We struggle day to day to do the basics of reading our Bible, praying, being faithful to church. And this isn't putting down. I deal with these issues. I'm talking me. I know it. Just think if we were under that doctrine. You say, Mark, you just don't teach enough about Jesus Christ. Folks, that thing scares me. I won't get too close to it. I mean, I can go in there and teach some things out of here, but you know the beauty of it all is, if you rightly divide the word of truth, none of it carries true over here in the dispensation of the grace of God. That's the beauty of it all. So they have an inheritance, folks. It's His kingdom out here. And off they go into eternal life. What must I do? Sell all that you have. Give to the poor and come and follow me. And he went away very sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So then, that young ruler knew a thing or two about what we covered here. These guys here, they're going to go into the kingdom. They know Abraham's going to be in the kingdom. They know David is going to be in the kingdom. So they know that other saints, other Israelites, the seed of Abraham, is going to wind up going into the kingdom. And they also know the Lord will come back. And look what it says in Romans chapter 11. Look over in Romans chapter 11 when he returns. Y'all with me? Told you this thing's going to get a little bit deeper than just living for your Jesus, okay? This what must I do thing. What would Jesus do? Yeah, well, he'll tell you what you got to do, and then you put those shoes on and try to walk in those for a while. Romans 11, what we're going to read here, concerns the return of the Lord, the battle of Armageddon, planting his feet down on the mount, and then going into the kingdom and establishing his throne forevermore. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And that's what Mike was talking about earlier in his prayer. The fullness of the Gentiles. We look for the fullness of the Gentiles to be come in. Folks, when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, we go out. We're looking forward to our going out, aren't we? That's what we're looking for. So we're looking for the fullness of the Gentiles. You know how you fill it up? The dispensation of the fullness of times? You get people saved. You want to get out of here? I mean, we bemoan this world. We loathe this world. If you want out, talk to somebody about the Lord. That's our key. That's our ticket out of here. Get them saved. Fill it up. Now verse 26. After the rapture, Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. So when he returns, their sins will be taken away. He's going to roar out of Zion. He'll be the lion of the tribe of Judah. He's going to roar out of Zion and turn away ungodliness from Jacob. He's going to destroy the enemies. And in they go. And these that survive will go in with their bodies, flesh. These that died, the bones will come together. Sinew, skin, and breath will be put in them. And they'll have a physical, spiritual body. In other words, the sin that entered in back here through Adam won't be in these that are born again into the kingdom. Won't be. You know what this is about? It's about the promise of inheritance. I want you to know that God made a promise to everyone sitting in here this morning. He made a promise of an inheritance specifically for and to us. And it isn't this inheritance, my friends. Our inheritance is far above all heavens. Far above all heavens. It's the only group of people that have this hope is us in here. The Bible says that no man at any time has seen God. He's invisible. You believe that? Then when the rapture takes place, out of all time, guess who will be the first ones to see the invisible God? Try that on. And we go up, we go out, and we obtain our inheritance. So, preacher know-it-all says, well, yeah, we go up, but we're coming down with the Lord, and we're going into this kingdom. No. Well, the Bible says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So when he returns, how could we be with him if we're up there? Because he will fill all in all. He's going to fill the universe. You don't have to be hooked at the hip with the Lord to be with him. Let me ask you, where's the Lord right now?
In me.
Where?
Inside.
He's in you?
Yes.
I thought Colossians said he's seated far above all heavens.
Yes.
I thought Colossians said he's at the right hand of God.
Yes.
You telling me he can be up there and in you at the same time? Then why can't he be down here and in us at the same time? Why is that not hard to figure out? Ain't no trouble with that. And these guys stumble. Well, you know, the entire creation's going to be burned up. And after that, nobody will go through it in their flesh. The flesh will end. The flesh isn't going to end. There's going to be procreation going on and on and on and on. You say, there's no way when he burns everything up here and creates a new heaven and new earth. Off my board. That's out there now. How can the flesh get through that? I want to know how it can't. The answer, if you want the answer, it's in Daniel. Go read it and you'll find it. I can't answer everything for you. I got to put the bait out sometimes and chase it. So they're going into the kingdom. So John Doe says, no, when he returns, we're going to come back. Folks, our inheritance up here. If we're coming back, why don't we just change the board to accommodate that? Why even go out in the first place? Why not just bring us right on through? Are we not sealed until the day of redemption?
Amen.
Then we couldn't lose our salvation if we took the mark of the beast, could we?
No.
You see? So why not just lead us right on in it and not have a rapture if that's what we're going to inherit? The reason being is that we're a select group of the children of God that he has a special promise of inheritance for us. And you know what we're going to be? We are going to be the poster children for all eternity of his unsearchable riches, which is his grace that saved wretches like ourselves.
Amen.
He is going to display us throughout all eternity and say, you want to know what kind of grace and mercy I have? Look at the body of Christ. Look at them, and they will glorify the Lord for the grace that he's had upon us. What must I do to be saved? And I'm going to tell you, this character here does not match this character here. There's a world of difference. And And we're going to go into the Acts 16 next week. But I want you to know the good news for us is that what must I do to be saved? The fact of the matter is nothing. You can't do anything to be saved. If the work is already done, it has been through Jesus Christ, then what is left for you to do? Nothing. The work's been done by Christ. He died for your sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. Therefore, the good news is anybody today that trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ, all of your sins are forgiven. You have obtained the righteousness of God and you're justified before God. And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Nobody. Nobody. Nothing. Sealed unto the day of redemption. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ? That's the question. It's your eternity. You're an eternal creature. You're eternal. You're either going to be spending it up there or spending it down there. You make the determination. Where do you want to go? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Trust in Him. Let's stand and we'll close in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ.